Yeah, it's Nick, Jess and Ducker. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, you want to know if you're posh or not, gang?
I know yes. I'm posh. I don't need no list.
Well, we've got one.
Okay.
So you can confirm.
Okay.
Or deny your own feelings in your waters.
What's posher than having an oven tea towel that's only for decoration?
We shall find out with the 40 signs that you're genuinely posh, according to the Brits on the Daily Mail, which is always your source for absolute accuracy.
To be fair, though, the British, poshest of the cultures.
You yes. reckon?
Well, I think who's posher than the British? Don't even try and tell me the Americans.
No, definitely not the Americans and definitely not the Australians. Yeah, well, I guess the British are pretty popular, but I think they're losing their poshness, you know?
You reckon?
Yeah, I think so. I think the stigma's all flying out with the Brits, but let's not dig down on that. Let's dig down into the list, shall we, Gil?
Yeah, there's some interesting ones down low. So 37, you laugh very loudly. 36, you say napkin instead of serviette.
Hang on, you laugh loudly means you're posh.
Oh, like a rich love.
Yeah, like so. I don't care what the unwashed masses care about my loudness. I'm so posh.
I'm so posh. Okay.
There's some I don't understand. Like 34, you wear a gilet. Anyone know what a gilet or a gillette is?
A gillette.
No. No,
like a potato gillette. Do you wear that?
What is a potato gillette?
I think it's like a some sort of potato bake.
Very good.
A gillette is some sort of puffy vest.
Is it really?
Yes, a light sleeveless padded jacket.
There you go.
That makes you posh.
You play croquet and you ride horses.
I do that every weekend.
Also very good.
I do love a bit of croquet.
With Nan.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have a gardener. Now that's posh.
Oh, that's posh.
Mm. Anyone here have a gardener?
I like to garden.
Ooh.
Does that make me a gardener and
you're
thus I am my own gardener?
What about
if you're
this?
Doing your own garden, you're not posh, I don't think so.
Number eight, gang, I'm guilty of this. Mm. You have a family coat of arms.
Oh,
do you
my
really?
God.
Yeah.
What is the guilt? I know what it is. It would be the pie symbol and then a beaker. And then
100%, 100%. In a Venn diagram.
Yes.
I think we're descendant from like the 10th or 11th century from some duke. And so we got granted a family coat of arms
What's your Latin mantra, like Fidelis et Fortis or whatever?
Yes.
That was my high school one. Do you have like a mantra?
I have never seen our family coat of arms.
Okay.
And I couldn't tell you what was on it.
As if you don't have a back tat of your family coat of arms.
I know.
Gilly, missed opportunity.
Yeah.
You call your parents mummy and daddy even when you're an adult.
Oh, well, Ducko calls Nick daddy, so does that make him posh?
Very posh.
Yeah. You're my daddy.
All right, here are the top three, guys. In at number three, you have a wine cellar.
Oh, I just bought a wine
Jessica
fridge.
Jessica Fagione, you snob. Yeah.
Wait, wine fridge. I think that goes the other way.
My second wine fridge.
Because it's all for rosé, isn't it?
Yeah, there was some rosé overflow.
You have antiques and family heirlooms at number two.
Oh, I've got family heirlooms, like brooches and stuff from my nana.
Yeah, my brother gets all of ours because
he's
got the same initials as my father. I think that's something that makes you a bit posh.
Yeah. Totally.
So they can hand down the family silver.
Yes, if you've got like juniors in your family or the third or the fourth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Usher Tinkler is the ninth of his name. Posh.
Oh, is he really?
Yes, he's the ninth.
Very posh. In at number one, though, guys, for things that make you posh, you went to boarding school. Now, I don't want to really make myself sound unrelatable here. But not only did my father go to boarding school, he went to boarding school with Prince Charles.
No way!
In England?
No. Prince Charles came to Australia.
As a convict?
Just for like a semester or something.
He's not quite that old. I know you think I'm old.
Did he steal some bread?
Must be older.
Yeah, and an apron. Yeah. What?
But no, he came to Geelong Grammar to do
his school. For like a semester?
It was for a year or maybe 2 years because he wanted to do Timber Top, which is like kind of a pilgrimage that they do for a year.
How old would he have been?
He would have been, I think it's year 10, year 9 or 10
like
that you go to Timbertop.
Yeah. 15, 16?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh my God, are they mates? Like are they
no,
in a group chat?
No, they were
chat?
In different years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but they went to school together. They were in the same boarding school together.
Oh my God. I tell people I went to school
nice?
With Tina Arena, but saying you went to school with Prince Charles is so much cooler.
I know. But there's one thing about poshness that I thought would be in there that I do, because I didn't make anything on that list. But there's one thing I do.
Yeah.
When you don't call your doona a doona, you call it a duvet.
Oh, hello.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We need to add that to the list. What was it? 40 signs? 41 signs.
Yes. My duvet.
What did you lie about as a kid for attention? Or parents, what have you busted your kids lying about simply because they wanted attention? A very, very funny thread rolling around on TikTok at the moment asked this very question. And this girl named Sophie, I think it's a British accent, and I can just relate because I did so much of this sort of dumb stuff when I was not even in primary school, in high school. Mainly for me, it was to try and get attention from boys. I would say things like when I worked at the Good Guys. Mate, this was when I was in my 20s, not even in high school. So I worked at the Good Guys.
What did your adult child lie about to get attention?
When I worked at the Good Guys, do you remember those ads? It was like, come in and see the good. Yeah, good, and it would be like all these Good Guys stuff, members having like a party in the shop, and there'd be like, you know, almost circus acts going on. It looked like a really fun place to go and buy a dishwasher.
Were they real staff members?
Well, I told people actors. They were. No, they were paid actors, but there was always someone flipping, a brunette girl flipping. You couldn't really make out her face. Brilliant. I told that many boys, I'm the, well, because I worked with the Good Guys, like I had that part of the story, you know, down pat. I'm the girl flipping in the Good Guys ads. Oh, and they ate it up. I once told, like, there was a vaguely brunette girl on a big billboard. It was like a sunglasses ad at our local shopping center.
Yeah.
Went on a date with a boy, and I was like, that's me.
Oh, man.
There's, like, giant billboard in the middle of a shopping center. He believed it was me.
Like, I used to say I was the guy in the Barney suit to girls, but
in Barney
so
suit?
Far...
Don't. You mean Barney the dinosaur?
The
big purple dinosaur. You used to say to girls that you were Barney in order to get girls.
I reckon that would work.
Do you know what?
Do you
100%
think?
Of the time the response was, oh, yeah, what? I guess you're tall.
Oh.
Like, that's the only thing that you need to check before working out whether it's true or not.
I love... How old do you reckon you are?
Oh, like... 17, 18, 19.
Love that. Classic. We'll take a teenage kid. But this girl, Sophie, she tells a story about when she was in primary school pretending she was deaf to get attention.
When I was in primary school, I got those headphones that go like around your ear and they were blue and I cut the wire off them, went into school with them on, and the teacher was like, Sophie, what's in your ear? And I was like, oh, it's a hearing aid. And I can't hear without them. And they said Sony on the side. And she was like, give them here. So I took them out and gave them to her. And she was like, do you think it's acceptable to pretend that your hearing is impaired? And I was like...
And she starts miming as though she can't hear her teacher. So she's going, you took my hearing out. I can't work out what you're saying. Now in her adulthood, she's going, how... appalling is that, but I wanted to be different. I wanted to be cool. I thought that would be a good way to get attention. Make these hearing aids out of my little Sony Sport headphones.
It's always in school when you're a kid, you think you can get away with anything. I remember we had show and tell when I was a kid, and my sisters and I at that stage all went to the same school, and I was like jealous of a family friend that had a horse or something. So I went up on show and tell on Monday and said that mum bought me a new pony over the weekend, bought me a horse. And the teachers were going around to my sisters in the playground being like, oh, so you got a horse for Nick over
That's
the weekend.
Cool.
And they were having to run with the lie. It got home to mum and dad. They all had to tell me, give me lessons in lying about having horses on show and tell.
That's brilliant. Well, producer Sophie, didn't you say you had a friend who said she was on a TV show?
Yeah, she said she was on Australian Idol and that she was the winner, but it was airing at the time, so she had about 2 weeks before we were going to find out she was lying.
winning as well. That's bold. That's a great lie.
Winning. My 3-year-old twins, not as good as that, but we were looking for the Apple remote to try and get the TV going. We're looking for it everywhere.
Yeah.
And then I was in the kitchen looking for it, and I just goes, I found it. I was like, oh, mate. And he's lounging across our lounge chair, just cool as you like. And he goes, I threw it in the bushes.
Like, what? And why'd you do that?
I'm like, where? And he came outside and pointed where he apparently threw it. And I was looking in the bushes. You've just got to. But then Harriet, my other 3-year-old, was inside. She's like, I found it under the couch.
Wait, the throwing in the bushes was the lie.
It was the lie.
It was the attention grab. Yeah.
He just wanted some attention because we were all looking for the remote rather than paying attention to him. So he said he threw the Apple remote in the bushes.
Brilliant.
I can't wait to see what commercials, TV shows he lies about being in his older years.
My gosh. Brilliant. We lie about the dumbest stuff.
I know.
This song when I was in primary school. So informer, you know, say
that I'm a snowman, I go glam. Oh, yes.
For some reason, I just told my friends that it was in Jamaican, that the language Jamaican.
And you spoke and Jamaican?
No, I said that the lyric sheet had the Jamaican words and then the English words underneath it, the translation. Why? Why would you lie about that?
Lyrical expert over here. Just wanted to get some street cred with your little mate.
Yeah, the Jamaican Gilman.
Yeah, totally.
What's your best Jamaican? Go for it, Gil. Just give us your best.
Absolutely not. I don't know. I don't know what's on the list and what's not on the list anymore.
Yeah, no.
You can do, but I feel as though that's somewhere in the grey area.
Totally. Kylie's in Cameron Park. Good morning, Kylie.
Hi.
What did you lie about as a kid for attention?
It wasn't actually me. It was my sister. She told family members that I had burnt our bedroom down.
Okay.
Not the rest of the house, just the bedroom.
Okay. Burnt to try and get you in trouble?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's not a common phrase, down. I burnt the bedroom down, is it?
No. Because usually the whole house would come with that.
Totally, yeah. Totally.
Just
and
the
that's
bedroom.
I love that. There's no logic. There's no. This is why I've done it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chloe's in Cardiff. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What did you lie about as a kid for attention?
Well, mine's pretty funny.
If you say so.
It better be, Chloe. It bloody better be. Never start a story that way.
Oh, yeah. So when I was a little girl, it was when Ricky Martin was like in his prime and all his new songs were coming out, and I pretended that he lived underneath my bed so I could share or get rid of the dinner that I didn't want off my plate.
What? That Ricky Martin was... You're just lying down in bed and then...
Oh, Ricky!
And it was the most odd thing for a small girl to say, but yes, apparently he lived underneath my bed.
Wow.
Wowee.
I mean,
there are monsters under the bed, but Ricky Martin, he'd be a pleasant person to have under the bed, I presume.
Can you imagine his lullabies?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Go on.
I know you wouldn't do Jamaican, Gilly, but will you give us Ricky Martin doing a lullaby to Chloe?
What lullaby would you like?
Obviously, Livin' La Vida Loca.
Oh, such a great
turned
one.
Into Chloe. Some sort Chloe. Of sleepy time.
Chloe La Sleepa Loca.
Chloe, I would like you to go to sleep. Go to sleep now, Chloe. I'll see you in the morning.
More.
Oh, my gosh.
Go to sleep, please, please. I'll see you in the morning.
When did Ricky become a creep?
Okay, Jess Ducco, need some conversation topics from you right now.
Oh.
Because this weekend, the twins have been invited to their first birthday party where I don't know the kid or the parents or anyone involved in the party.
Oh, how has that come to pass?
So they go to daycare. And they have friends at daycare who we occasionally might see for a second, but some of them get picked up at different times. So we don't know the kids. We don't know the parents. And they got in their little mail hole at their daycare an invitation to a fourth birthday on Sunday for a child that we don't know. We don't know the parents of.
The kid exists.
The kid exists.
The twins didn't just make up an invite to get out of, like, I don't know, mummy daddy time on Saturday, did they?
Yeah, yeah,
just drop us off at this address.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye. Yeah.
If so, their handwriting is very good. Okay. And so is their literacy at 3 years old.
Harriet's smart cookie, man.
She is. But the thing is that they mention this kid a bit. So they know, I know that they're good friends, but I don't know any of the parents. I don't know any of the children. They're going to be in a play arena and Georgette's at work. So I'm flying solo, just going
sucks.
Into a group of parents and I have no idea what I'm going to talk about or do. It goes for 2 hours and I don't even have like my normal security blanket is Georgette, hey, we can talk about our lives or whatever.
Yeah, keep me company.
Worst case scenario, Otis, how's your day going? My 3-year-old. He's going to be in the play area, so
yes.
I can't even talk to my children.
Yeah, you're just watching with the other parents as the children have a good time.
Yeah.
Supervising.
So the parties you go, that you go to for them normally, you know the families or you know the kid briefly.
Yeah, quite often it's the parents are good friends and you get invited to the party because the parents are friends, not even the kids necessarily.
So even the parent of the birthday boy or girl, have they just assumed that the twins are friends? Like they're taking the word of their 3-year-old on who they want to invite.
Yeah, like we That's would invite bold. This kid to our fourth birthday if
Yeah.
We had one, yeah.
I just would assume all the parents would know each other.
I know, right? Like growing up, I always thought that sort of stuff.
You've got good chat. Why are you uncomfortable?
All right, here's the problem. Because if you've ever had young children, I don't know if this is just me, but if you're trying to concentrate on the safety of two children at the same time, particularly in a play enclosure.
Enclosure. Sounds like they're at the zoo.
They're at the zoo. They're in a cage. Yeah.
You just put them in with the meerkats. There you go. Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah. It's Revolution Gym. If you know what I'm talking about, it's an enclosure.
Okay.
And it's wonderful.
Because it's
all netted in. It's beautiful. Then I cannot concentrate on their safety, two at once in different areas, doing different things, and engaging in a brand new conversation with a brand new person.
Get to know your chat. You need to pay attention.
It's just not possible. So I just need some conversation topics, guys. Have you got any questions that are quite open-ended that I can maybe ask, and then they'll give me an answer for like 2, 3, 4 minutes?
Yeah, like opinion based. You need to stumble on, like how we just stumble upon Ducko being 29 and still eating jelly.
Yeah, and you could ask that. Do you like jelly? You can ask some of the mums.
How old are you? When did you stop eating jelly?
Thoughts on jelly. Yeah.
Thoughts on jelly.
Jelly thoughts, go, you know? Yeah, that's a tough one because you got no one there. You got no safety in it, as you said, and your kids aren't really going to speak back to you. They're going to be playing.
And you also want to make a good impression for this little kid, you know. You want to back up why they're friends with your kids. You know, the parents are meeting you for the first time. You got to represent.
Yeah.
So you want to be fine. You don't want to do the standard, what do you do?
But here's the thing, though, right? They're only three. They're not going to be friends with these people for much longer than a couple of years. I don't think you need to put in that much effort.
Oh, man. Like,
you could, what do you mean? But this could be the start of a lifelong friendship. There might be, you know, best man or whatever at the wedding, and it's going to be like, oh, but remember when we first met your dad? Oh, that was cringe. Like,
yes, exactly. Because I want you guys to just role play with me just really quickly. Just pretend as though we're meeting for the first time. I'll give you an example of how the conversation looks.
So, are we the parent of the birthday kid?
Yeah, you can be a parent, and I'll be Otis and Harriet's parent. Hey, how are you going? I'm Nick.
Hi, I'm Jess.
Hi, I'm Ducko. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too.
Yeah, really good. Nick, who are your little ones?
My little Otis, get down from there!
My little ones. He's got Otis. Otis is that really naughty kid.
Oh, no, no, Otis is Micah. Harriet, do not hit that boy. Harriet. Yeah, no, I am. So what are you?
That's my boy that she's hitting. Okay.
Yeah. You've got two at once.
I'm so sorry. Anyway, what are you going? Otis! Do not go up the slide. Do not go up the slide. What do you do for a, for Harriet? Living? What do you do for Harriet, do not hit him. I said that already. I'm so sorry. What do you do for a living?
He can't control his gremlins, can he?
No. But surely, like, Harriet and Otis, as unique and special as they are, surely all the kids are doing that. So won't it just be a whole arena of parents yelling at their children not to hit each other and to get down from the slide? You don't need to worry about chat.
Nick, as the other parent of the team with, of course, my dog, Pandemic Pam, I liken this to a dog park, a closed enclosure for animals running around. And when I'm at the dog park and Morgan's not there and I've got to make chat with the other dog park people, you know, you usually just talk about how long you had the little guy, what kind of breed they are. And then if you have some nice treats and then show them the tricks that your dog or child can do.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Paw, roll over.
Yeah. Roll over, here's a Freddo frog kind of thing.
Take it as an opportunity to elevate the twins' social status.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Ducko.
No worries, mate. The worst is, though, when they find out that you work on Nick, Jess and Ducko on Hit 106.9 and you talk about probing Monday to Friday and all sorts of things like that, and they realise what you do isn't real.
As long as it starts conversation, I don't care if probing is the topic.
We love this time of the week. Hit family, do ya or don't ya? You get to play the jury, and what you decide goes. Everyone will enact your side of the fence from that point forward.
Absolutely.
It's quite a powerful moment in the week.
It so is, isn't it?
For you
it's
to
the
have
most
your
powerful
say
moment.
Yeah. Totally.
Today's a big one, though. We're asking, do ya, don't ya? Use a top sheet on your bed.
Oh.
Mate, what psychopaths aren't using a top sheet?
Oh, I totally agree with you. So 131060, have you saying it? It's come out after an article said millennials have essentially destroyed the top sheets on beds, that millennials do not use top sheets anymore. They don't see the use in them. They don't see the point in them.
What?
And they're not using it. I know, which I find ridiculous. You have to use a top sheet because sometimes your doona gets too heavy and you don't want to use the doona, and then that sheet is that nice in-between feeling.
And further to that, if you're only using the doona, are you washing your doona cover once a week, changing your doona cover? It's so much easier to wash your sheets and replace those on your bed than getting your doona all sweaty and gross.
Yes, exactly. Nah.
Gilman!
The problem is, I get in a massive tangle. I don't know what's the sheet and what's the doona, and my legs are all caught halfway between the doona and the sheet and the bed.
What are you doing aerobics whilst you sleep?
Yeah, of course. And then the other thing is, I think that the warmth thing, that's a fallacy. Just put as much doona on as you like.
a little bit hot, just put it across the midriff.
No, but then your chest is exposed.
Yeah. That's fine. Who cares?
That's weird.
See, in summer, no doona, just have the sheet. Then you can use the doona if you want a little bit, if you have the aircon on really cold in summer. In winter, have both. But sometimes, you know, in winter, you go to bed in warmer pajamas and you get hot, you start sweating. Take that doona off. You got the sheet. That's the perfect temperature.
Nah, I'm sorry. I love the weight of the doona. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. I need the weight of the doona on me.
Producer Sophie, where do you sit on the do you don't your top sheet? You're the youngest of the team.
Don't you?
Big don't you?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, because you have to have the doona over your head in case people, I don't know, to protect yourself, I guess.
All right, cool. We'll,
do you have the doona out there at the moment? Muffling your mic.
I can't believe that you, out of all people, Gilly, are a don't you for the top sheet.
I thought you were the cleanest member of the team. It turns out. Stinky doona. Filthy doona.
And also, it's a good one if you have a dog like me, Pan, that sleeps underneath your doona and has her own sort of pillow. She sleeps under the doona, in between the doona and the top sheet, so she's not getting her actual bottom sheet dirty.
Hang on, wait. You know,
wait,
so
now
is
who's
Pam,
the dirtiest in the crew?
Yeah, I'll take it back, Gilly. All eyes on Ducko. So Pam...
Yeah,
is a don't ya? We got to count Pam. She's not using the top sheet.
Well, it's because we make her be a don't ya, because I don't want her under that sheet. That's the barrier I have between Pam and I. You know what I mean?
Still, okay. I'll take the vote. All right, well, let's go to Anna in Katara. Do you or don't you use a top sheet in bed?
100% do not.
Yuck. Oh, yes.
Oh. I think it's awful. I absolutely hate them. Even if I buy a set of sheets, I'll chuck that one out.
Oh, well, Anna, are you doing what Nick Gill does and doing aerobics lying down and thus getting all tangled in the top sheet?
Yeah, I just don't like the feeling of it. I'll kick it down to the bottom.
Yeah.
I'm not into it.
I love that you throw it out too. I hope someone's given it to you, and in front of them, while making eye contact, you just put it straight in the bin.
Just light it on fire.
Yeah, burn it.
All right, don't you? Thank you, Anna. Renee's in Tyers Hill. Good morning, Renee.
Hi, I definitely do use a top sheet. It's so much nicer. Tuck it in really nice and tight, and then you don't have to wash the doona as much.
Amen.
Exactly, Renee.
I don't
agree
about the tucking in tight. Are you a tuck in tight, Duckman?
I'll tuck in tight around the side so the sheet doesn't go everywhere when you're doing your aerobics at night.
Okay, that's the kicker.
Yeah.
But then you feel constricted. I want to feel free in the bed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Thank you, Renee. Jade's in Newcastle. Do you, don't you, use a top sheet?
Don't you? Ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, yeah. Why though?
Time. How much time does it take to put a top sheet on? You flick it on and it's on.
It's so inconvenient. I hate it. It ruffles up everywhere. It gets lost. It's not. I'm done with it.
Especially if you need to mitre the corners, you know?
Yeah, just no. Like, just no. It looks so much better with that.
Are we just gonna skim over that?
Rough.
Yeah, okay, we are. Got away with that one, Gilly.
Mitering corners. Sam and Greta, do ya, don't ya? Use the top sheet in bed.
Do ya,
110%. Yes, and what gives you the authority, Sam, to back up the do ya camp?
I'm a cleaner. That's what I do. I do bed and breakfast, hotels, things like that. We use pure white sheets. It's our policy to have a top sheet on. The amount of gunk and disgusting stuff that go on the top sheet, just even from one night, is next level unbelievable. It's completely disgusting if you do not put a top sheet on.
So unless you're washing your doona every week, the amount of gunk that would be on the Gillman's doona is horrible. It's disgusting.
And not only that, if you're sweating and things like that, it's going to go through to your actual doona as well. So you're going to want to be washing your actual doona as well.
Oh, God. And most of those are dry clean only. Who has the time for that?
What about if I have a dog in the bed with you? Would it be as dirty then or a bit?
Oh, that's even worse.
Lucky you're using the top sheet, Ducko. You're
lucky,
fine.
Lucky, see? It's on my bottom sheet. What an idiot.
Well, we're very much split here. Online, it's almost 50-50, and we're 50-50 with the calls so far. So, Carly and Fletcher, you have the floor. Do ya or don't ya use a top sheet in the bed?
Do ya?
Yeah!
Yes, Queen. Talk us through it. Always been a fan of the top sheet?
Always a fan of the top sheet. When you're sweaty and you're dead skin, you don't want that wrecking your expensive doona cover and then your expensive doona, and then you got to wash them, and it's just
Amen.
Pretty much easy to chuck the top sheet in, give it a wash, give it a dry, and off you go.
Sacrifice the top sheet, Gilly. And as we said, the Hit family gets to decide how we all live our lives moving forward. You're going to go home and put a top sheet on.
Yeah, top sheet.
You do ya.
I will, obviously. I'll go and
whack the top sheet
on.
Get
in, get my feet completely caught because they're normally off the end of the bed. But no, because I've been
told. Do you hang over the end of your bed?
Yeah.
Oh.
You need a bigger bed, buddy.
You need
a king size bed. How much bigger can I get?
Wow.
A super king, yeah.
Yeah, they need extendable beds. The taller members of the community.
Our bed is already, I reckon, less than a foot away from our windows. So
are your feet out the window?
Some nights, if I go too far down the bed, I'm at risk of getting run over.
Real bedtime issues. Over the past few weeks, you may have heard a really powerful radio commercial running around on this very station, voiced by Kate Everett. She was the mother of Dolly Everett, and it's because today is Do It for Dolly Day.
Hi, I'm Kate Everett, mum of Meg, who's turning 20. And Dolly, who would have been 18 this year but took her own life after an extended period of online bullying. This can happen under your nose, but teens send messages through their behaviour. So my message to you is to learn the 7 warning signs your teen is being bullied online, like being upset after using their phone.
We just thought this was such an important message for parents to understand maybe behavioural changes in their young kids, in their teenagers, because we know that online bullying with the, you know, how much our devices play a role in our lives, particularly our young people's lives.
Yeah, 1 in 2 have experienced cyberbullying or other hurtful online behaviour.
Seriously. And parents, you know, Kate and Tick Everett's dream is that parents can catch this before another precious young person takes their own life. So we're going to go to Brad Langerland. He's the head of Dolly's Dream, the foundation that Kate and Tick started. Brad, good morning and thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Firstly, I guess it seems obvious, but what was the motivation for Kate and Tick, you know, coming out of the tragedy of losing Dolly, wanting to start this foundation helping other parents?
Yeah, they simply didn't want any parent to go through what they did. And that was the motivation being behind starting the charity. And today is Do It for Dolly Day, which is a day where we can commemorate Dolly, but also celebrate kindness and take a stand against bullying.
And so what can we do today to try and commemorate and help out for future people?
Yeah, look, we're asking people to wear blue, which is Dolly's favourite colour, to be kind, and also to go online to our website, dollysdream.org.au, and learn those 7 warning signs of online bullying.
Yeah, I can't even fathom a 14-year-old contemplating and deciding those horrible thoughts to do it. And the bullying that she must have copped online. The big thing is the parents, Brad, obviously, technology, they wouldn't understand all these days. The kids are on apps and doing things that they might not know or know that they're even on. So how can parents be in the know, and how can parents help their kids through things like this if the kids aren't talking about it?
Well, first thing, it is important to have those conversations, to take that first step and to actually talk to your kids about these issues. And you might find that, you know, the first 5 or 6 times they don't say something, but then at least they know there's an outlet there, that you've made it clear that if they ever do get in trouble online, or they're ever having troubles, that they can come to you. So that's really important. And then the other thing we really want parents to do is to learn those kind of signs, such as being anxious after using devices, losing interest in things, unexpected changes in friendship groups, the things that can be a sign of bullying.
And how do you recommend that parents initiate that conversation, Brad? Because we know, like I know when I was a teenager, if mum and dad tried to have a serious conversation, the wall just went straight up. So is there even some advice on talking about Dolly as this sort of other person who went through this thing and making it about this other person to open dialogue that way so the kid doesn't look like the spotlight is completely on them maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. But another thing you can do is actually ask kids, what are you doing online? What apps are you using? And take an interest, you know, in the games and the apps that they're playing. So talking about the online world isn't such a big barrier, I suppose.
And as a parent, I grew up in a time where this wasn't something that we just grew up with. We couldn't get online bullied because there wasn't online to be bullied on.
Yeah.
As a parent who's raising kids now for that sort of stuff, are there any key resources that parents can look at to find out like an up-to-date sort of, I don't know, resource for how we can find out what apps are being used by kids?
Yeah, so look, the Office of eSafety has set up an excellent website where you can go and look at the latest apps and games. And us ourselves have sent up Parent Hub, which is a look into bullying and cyberbullying and some of the things to look out for and some of the things that you can do to help.
Yeah, this quote from Kate Everett, Dolly's mum, really kind of shook me to my core. She said, I distinctly remember being in the car with Dolly and hearing a message notification come through on her phone. The way her body language and demeanour changed, hindsight is so great, it should have registered that things were really wrong. Mm. So really paying attention to your young people and yeah, how Brad said, how they respond after maybe they've spent a bit of time on their phone, changes in the friendship group, what's going on at school, and really taking note of, wow, something might be going on here. They might not want to talk about it right now.
Yeah.
How do we start the conversation and make sure our young people know we are there for them?
Yeah.
Before it gets further.
Well, Brad Langerland, head of Dolly's Dream, and it is today, Do It For Dolly Day today, so make sure you wear blue and get around that. Thank you so much for your time this morning for this very important issue.
Thanks for having me. Nick Jess and Duncan.